Welcome back to the Make Time for Success podcast. This is episode number 36. I got chills from this episode with my special guest, Annie Peguero, not once, but twice. Once when Annie and I were recording the interview and I got to listen to her stories and her history. And then again, when I was going through the recording during the editing process. Not only is Annie an amazing storyteller, but she has amazing stories to tell. Listen to Annie, who is a high-performance mindset coach, describe how she found her way into living more courageously in both her life and in her business. In the process, you are probably going to feel some chills too, but you're also going to learn a lot about how to live and work from your highest level. Let's go listen to this incredible woman's story now. Hi, I'm Dr. Christine Lee, and I'm a psychologist and a procrastination coach. I've helped thousands of people move past procrastination and overwhelm so they could begin working to their potential. In this podcast, you're going to learn powerful strategies for getting your mind, body, and energy to work together, so that you can focus on what's really important and accomplish the goals you want to achieve. When you start living within your full power, you're going to see how being productive can be easy and how you can create success on demand. Welcome to the Make Time for Success podcast. Hello, today I am so happy because Annie Peguero and I are here to have a lovely conversation, to get reconnected, and I would like to showcase Annie's brilliance and her love for her fellow people and our shared love for helping people get out of their own way. I think that really is how Annie and I, one of the ways that Annie and I really do connect. So welcome to the show, Annie.
Thank you so much, Christine. This is such an honor to be here with you today. Thank you so much for having me on. I love this connection that we have, and I'm really excited to catch up with you. I think it's really cool that we didn't like catch up too much before we hit record. So this is like fresh and real and raw, and that's what we like.
We definitely do like that. Annie and I met several years ago in California at a conference, and we were just lucky enough to be there at the same space and time. Annie had come from Japan and I had come from New York, and it was just fast friendship, and just can't wait to share Annie with you, my listeners. So Annie, please start us off and share with us what we need to know about you starting off, what some major parts of your journey have been up to this point.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much. So I'm a military spouse, a mom of girls, and I help women get out of their own way. I spent so much of my life kind of wishing and waiting for like the right time for my kids to grow, for like the planets and stars to align, like all of these things. And, you know, I realized that I wasn't going to be able to wait for something to happen. And I wasn't going to be able to meditate my way into action or any other, like using crystals and rituals and things like that. Like all of that is important and blended together. But it was that taking action when you don't know what's going to happen, when it feels so incredibly scary that you just kind of have to lean in and do it. And that has really been the baseline ground. I mean, the core, okay? Like the core of everything, like in my life, my personal life, my marriage, my kids, and in my business, because none of these things exist in a bubble. Like so often we try to compartmentalize all these things, right? I was a health and fitness coach. I helped people feel comfortable in their own skin and, you know, basically lose weight. But what I found really in that health and fitness journey, that it wasn't the nutrition plan and it wasn't the workout program. It was really the stories that we're telling ourselves in our head. And for me as a fitness coach, it was like super frustrating because I wanted to like really help these women, but I found that, you know, just giving them a plan wasn't enough. So I started studying to become an NLP coach, and that has just really shifted my business. That's neuro-linguistic programming, and it's really just the way that your brain works and the way that your brain kind of transfers information into either action or procrastination and self-doubt. So that's where our beautiful relationship started, because it was at that time when we met when I was really making that switch from health and fitness to NLP coaching and helping women get out of doubt, specifically entrepreneurs. And it was just a really beautiful time where we were able to help each other, like, get out of our own heads and into doing what was really important to us, which was helping women.
Absolutely. Thank you for that beautiful explanation. I think our listeners can tell that there's so many stories that are behind the story of how you got here, just the health and fitness coaching, the transition to being an NLP coach and helping entrepreneurs, being a mom, being a wife, being a military spouse. I guess what I'm thinking as a first question is that idea about, well, let me just wait it through, or let me just think this through. Was there something in your life or in your personality that caused you to be that kind of a person, that you were more maybe on the patient side or on the non-active side?
Oh, that is such a good question, because no, like the actual opposite. I mean, I have very much been like an action taker. However, when it came to putting myself in my truest heart and being vulnerable, I mean, I know everybody uses that word, but really laying out on the line what was in my heart and soul, like putting that out there, that's where the challenge came for me. Before I met my husband and resigned from my job and became a military spouse and moved to Japan, I was a law enforcement officer with the National Park Service. And I got this really great compliment from my peers. They're like, Annie, you're like the tip of the spear. And I'm like, whoa. And I used to like not talk about that because I'm like, oh, horn tootie or whatever. But I'm really proud of that. I feel like having that level, like those high standards and those expectations, and knowing that, like having your peers know that you're an action taker, was really important to me. So when it came time to mirror that action taking in my own business, it was like such a block. Like I just couldn't do it. And I knew what was holding me back, but I felt like it was literally too scary to push forward.
And may I ask what was holding you back?
Right. Okay. So I'm laying in bed and it is the night before my birthday. And my husband, you know, he's a Marine. He was in Italy and we're in our home in Virginia. And I'm laying there nursing my daughter. And I'm like, you know what? Tomorrow's my birthday. I'm going to do something big, like something major. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to rip off the Band-Aid and I'm going to go live on Facebook and I'm going to ask for help in finding my birth family. So my whole life, I've known that I was adopted at birth. Like my birth mother gave me up for adoption. And this was kind of like this shadow within me, and that I couldn't expose my real self. I just needed to know. I have a beautiful family, amazing, loving parents. And after giving birth to my daughters, I knew that I had to meet this woman and thank her for this beautiful life that I live. So I put my daughter into bed and I went into my office and I made a sign with Crayola markers. And it said, 41 years ago today in Greenville, Pennsylvania, a young woman gave birth to me. Please help me find her so I can thank her for this beautiful life. And like now I'm sweating with chills and everything. Like every single time I tell this story. And the big takeaway message of this, and the reason why this story is important for your listeners, is because I had to release the attachment to what could happen. I mean, I could have been met with, you know, like incredible rejection, serious tragedy, just more like people pushing away, like hate. Like I didn't know what I was going to find. You know what I mean? But I knew that I had to put myself out there, because number one, I knew that I needed to break that cycle of generational trauma, like what I was going to pass on to my girls. And it was just too much of a risk. Like I knew that I needed answers. I needed to find that peace and clarity. And once I had those answers, I knew that my life was completely going to change and I was going to be able to serve at a level that I just couldn't serve while living in that shadow.
So I know you said chills. I wanted to cry when I heard you with the Band-Aid and just knowing that you had to do this for the next generations and not only for your own life, that it was bigger than you, that it was the energy that you were living with and holding and sharing with your daughters. This is so powerful. I have 5 questions at a time with you. So what did you need to say to yourself, or how did that shift happen? It was the birth of your daughters. How were you coaching yourself into doing this?
I kept on telling myself, I have to do something. I have to do something. And it wasn't coming to me in exactly what that thing was. I mean, I spent so many times like Googling how to find birth family and how to get out of self-doubt and how to release negative self-talk. I mean, all of that stuff, because that's what I was doing. Like, it wasn't just that I didn't have these answers. It was that I was living with these self-imposed limits that it was impossible for me to get over. And when I made this decision, like I literally made the decision when I was laying there nursing her. It wasn't something that I had thought about, that I had journaled about, meditated on, nothing. It was like, this is what I have to do. I need to do a Facebook Live video and I need to just do it and not think about it, just do it and then roll with what happens. And I feel like my own coaching clients now, when I share this story with them, they're like, okay, like I can go live for the first time, or I can share this idea that I have. It's like, if I can do it, then I really believe that anybody can do this. It's just recognizing that you have this desire to not live with these limits anymore, like not live within this self-doubt. Like it was really just a decision that I made and then took action.
Beautiful. And then can you fill us in on what happened with the story after the Facebook Live happened?
Yeah, I mean, beautiful response, like literally right away, a man named David reached out to me and he said, we need to talk. I think you're my sister Marie's daughter. So I'm like, oh my goodness. Yeah. So I get my headphones in and I've got my girls in the back. They're like all buckled up because I had left the house. And I called him and I'm like, hey, it's Annie. I'm like, let's talk. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. And he's like, are you driving? I'm like, yeah, but it's okay. My girls are in the back. And he's like, no, you need to go home and you need to call me from home for what I'm about to tell you about Marie. And right then I knew that she had died. So I got home. I called my husband in Italy. We got on a Zoom with David and he went on to tell me, you know, the full story of how Marie gave birth to me when she was 16 years old. She was one of 10 children in a giant Italian family, and they've always been hoping that I would try to find them. After she died in a car accident in 1991, when I was 16 years old, the same age that she was when she gave birth to me. So a huge spiral effect of love happened. I mean, I have 26 first cousins and they all look like me because I'm the second oldest. And I came to a realization and ownership that I came from love into love. And having that now as my core, as my baseline that I move on from and to serve my family, myself, my family, and my clients has just opened up the floodgates of love, you know, and I feel like so many of us hold ourselves back. We feel like this self-doubt is just the most unbreakable barrier. We don't even realize what we are fully capable of. And I'm going to quote your podcast episode, I think it was 2 episodes ago from this date. I it's episode 30 something. And you said, you were so massively powerful. You know, I just feel like, please put that on a quote card and put it in all the places, because it's like magic. Like, all of these things that we do these days to, you know, increase our energetic flow, but you are massively powerful. Like, every single one of us, it's just about recognizing that glow and that light within ourselves.
I am so touched. I am so wanting to cry. I'm not a crier, but you're pulling out all the feelings for me. I am so happy that you have boosted your family. You've just blown it out in the best of ways, and that you have so many new people to love, and that it also opened up your heart fully, that you just removed all the barriers that might have been there. So I'm just happy to hear that just between you and me. But also I'm glad that our listeners got to hear your beautiful story too, in case they are holding on to something, in case they're worrying day in and day out about something, in case they're dreaming about something and they think maybe it's just that one step that I need to take, that one Facebook Live perhaps that could make this start, get that energy of the universe working double time for them. So listener, go for it. Go for that thing that you've been holding back on that you feel might allow you to live a more open-hearted life. And that's just for me and Annie. Okay, Annie, so how has that experience, the finding out your history, where you came from, all of that, and feeling all that love from your family, how has that translated into daily living, how you parent your daughters, how you teach other women? Please share.
I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is like, it has made me crave leaving the comfort zone even more. Once I did that, which was like at the time, literally the biggest barrier in my life, it's made me want more of that. Like, when something gets comfortable for me, I'm saying, okay, what can I do to live in that zone of sweating and shaking? You know, like, I really want to have that physiological response to fear, because I know that then it means something. So, you know, for me, it's like the equivalent to, you know, since I'm a mom of my girls are relatively small, and I don't get to do like the high adrenaline activities that I used to do like before I became a mom. So it's like an equivalent to rappelling off of a 350-foot cliff, or like whitewater kayaking through like class 2.5 rapids, because I was never really that good, or like barreling down a single track on slick rock in Utah. Like, those are the feelings that I crave. So in my business, you know, I want to have more of that excitement, more of that adventure, or like just finding the things that feel scary and doing more of them. Even like you asked in my parenting, we keep it safe. We want our daughters to be safe. But I feel like teaching them courage, you know, and what that feeling of feeling the fear and doing it anyway in a safe environment feels like is one of the most important lessons that we can teach, specifically for young girls. I want my girls to know that they have magic inside of them, that they are massively powerful. And when it feels scary, then it's something important, and they should lean in and do the scary thing.
What is your sense or understanding of how that spiritual, energetic, magical understanding gets somehow pushed aside or devalued or forgotten about for not just women, I think men as well, but what is your theory? What have you thought about that topic?
Yeah, I think that we get so stuck in the day-to-day life and the day-to-day like issues, problems, challenges, or whatever that come up, that we have a hard time really feeling the energy of a challenge or of a like a situation, a decision that we have to make. And we make all of our decisions based on like practicality and like being pragmatic and just kind of like on this earthly plane, instead of recognizing that we are energetic beings, that we are like these balls of energy, and we can have this shift that can dramatically impact and transform our life. And we just kind of get stuck. And that's where I feel like meditation and energy work and working with crystals and Reiki and all of that is so very important, but we can't do that in a bubble. Like once you recognize that you're feeling kind of stagnant, feeling kind of stuck, making decisions based on circumstance, things like that, you reach out for some assistance, but then knowing that it all comes down to whether or not you're going to take action on it, you know, whether or not you're going to actually do something with this change and this different heightened vibration that you're feeling. So basically, it's just taking time to recognize it and then moving forward with action.
Okay. Once you've moved your daughters, your clients to the point of saying, okay, I accept the need to act. I know that I want to act. How do you help people set themselves up for a good outcome or whatever's next, maybe even uncertainty? What is your system for coaching people there?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like, you know, that first of all, I'm not a business coach. You know, I'm a high performance mindset coach. And what I feel that people are always looking for a plan. They're always looking for a strategy, a blueprint, a, you know, somebody else's XYZ. This is what you need to do to get this outcome. Myself included, you know, I was looking for that as well. But after having all of the blueprints and then not stepping into the role that I knew that I was meant to fill, that's when I really had to start asking these questions and try to figure out what the block was. And it was realizing that it's just one action step after action step after action step away. And almost every single time, the next step changes from what you originally thought that it was. I mean, you could come up with this like grand plan and strategy that you spent so much time and probably money hiring someone to help you come up with a strategy. It's just like, listen to your instincts, listen to your intuition. What are you being led to do, create, be, become, put out there into the world? What are you feeling called to do and be right now? And just do that. Just do that one thing. And I loved, like, in that episode that you talked about letting yourself feel the beginning, middle, and end, like going through that whole entire thing, like not just stopping at the beginning, because we totally do that. Like, raise your hand if you're like, okay, I'm going to do this thing. You do it, and then you're like, coil back, right? And it's like getting to the middle part and then the end and working through completion, meaning like if you're a business owner, and that's who I mostly speak with, entrepreneurs, like getting the offer out there and then actually doing the program or, you know, whatever it is that you're holding yourself back on, not just creating all of the things, coming up with a strategy, but working through, like you said, the beginning, middle, and then finishing the thing.
I think as I'm hearing you describe the process, I think what oftentimes is the block is some sort of feeling. And feelings are just so interesting because we know they're temporary hormonal fluctuations and stories we're telling ourselves about things, but they're also major roadblocks for major things that we can be allowing to enter in our life and bless our lives and improve our lives. So what do you say to the person who says, okay, I have a plan, I have the intention, but I also feel really frustrated. I feel really insecure. I feel like the feelings are still really powerful. What would you say to that person?
I love that question because like my answer is just adventure with it. Like go on an adventure with these feelings. And when I say that to certain people, they're like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Easy. It's simple. Like, feel the feelings, like allow those feelings to come up instead of switching your attention, moving it to something else. No, actually feeling the fear, feeling the anxiety, feeling the sweat and, you know, the uncertainty, the fear, that like all of the things, and then take that a step further. And that's what I call, you know, this adventure that you go on. It's really like asking yourself questions. And just for me, like going back to my story, I had to ask myself, well, okay, I have a lot of fear of finding out about my birth family. Why do I have that fear? Well, rejection. I was fearing rejection. I was fearing, you know, what could happen. But as I was fearing that rejection, I was also pushing away the possibility of love. So whenever you're feeling like some type of something negative, as you're going on this adventure with it, where you can take yourself to a higher level of consciousness and recognize that not only are you feeling that fear, but you're pushing away something really positive. And even if it comes in the form of tragedy, you know, as it did finding out that my birth mother had died tragically, the love that came from there and the peace that came to my heart and the hearts of so many people, being able to see my father and my maternal grandfather sitting together, you know, having a conversation, having that peace and saying thank you to each other. I mean, it was really a life-changing moment. And I sure as heck didn't know that was going to happen. So it's being able to go on an adventure with the self-doubt that you're feeling, asking yourself questions, and then moving towards action without holding on to the negative that might happen. Just knowing that, and it's a Buddhist saying, everything that happens to me is the best possible thing that could happen. Now, like my Italian mom, she would always tell me, she'd say, everything happens for a reason, you know, and she still says that to this day. But taking it a step further, everything that happens to me is the best possible thing that can happen through tragedy and through joy. There's always something really beautiful and transformational that we can take away from it if we choose.
I'm going to add to that a little bit, because I'm watching you tell your own beautiful story. And I'm going to add that you need to trust yourself that you can withstand whatever you're going to find, whatever you're going to feel, whatever you're going to experience. And second point, you have the space energetically and love-wise to hold it all.
Yes.
That you're not going to break, that even if you do experience the negative feelings, the negative experiences, that's part of your story, that's part of what makes you who you are, that you want to take that possibility of expansion and know that you can handle it. I think for me, that's what I'm thinking of, is that oftentimes self-doubt is just, I won't be able to handle it, period. I don't care what it is, small or really big. I just don't feel like I'm up to it. And that small momentary thought can hold us back from what you've so beautifully said. It's holding you back from experiencing more love, the possibility of more. So thank you for sharing all of these lessons and all of your experiences of being really the tip of the spear. I could really see why your colleagues called you that, because that's your energy. That is your vibe completely. That was the vibe when I met you so many years ago, and what I'm seeing now too. And your daughters too. They're also just ready to be there with you, from what I can tell.
You're always ready. Yeah. I mean, thank you so much for saying that. It's just such a message that I know that that's my purpose on this planet. You know, that's why everything happened in my life the way that it was supposed to happen, exactly as it's supposed to happen. And that's really my message for your listeners, for my listeners, like everyone that says, yeah, I've got something inside of me that I know that I want to share. And I love that you said, you know, that you added to trust yourself and that you can handle it, that you won't break. And I think that, you know, you and I are super similar in that we don't, like, encourage people to push away their feelings. You know, we really believe in the value of the process of feeling your feelings. And yeah, that you're going to go through some challenges, and knowing that there is something beautiful on the other side is just what to keep in your heart every day.
Okay, beautiful. I think I would like to hear about Japan.
Oh yeah.
And that adjustment and the learning that must have happened while you were there, and what you observed in terms of cultural differences or similarities. Mm. And if you could fit some of that with what we've been talking about taking chances and taking action, that would be a plus, another
plus. Oh, sure. Yes. I mean, so the village where we lived is called Yomitan, and it's right on the East China Sea, like literally right on it. The first time we lived there, our house was this tiny little beach house, like literally right on the East China Sea, like nothing a military family could afford to live in, you know, here in the United States. But in Japan, it was this beautiful little bungalow. I mean, seriously amazing. And this time, where we lived for the last 4 years, was just a few blocks away from that. So we lived in the same village because we loved it so much. It has the highest population of people over 100 years old on the planet. I mean, it's just amazing. And the beautiful Okinawan people, we see somebody walking down the street pushing a cart full of goya, the cucumber-like Japanese vegetable that has like spiny little things on it. It's called bitter melon, and it is like the fountain of youth, right? Like they use it in stir fry, they eat it raw, and it's very, very bitter, but it helps even protect them from the sun, like if you can imagine that, right? So we lived in this village. Like we'd see someone walking, that they would literally be 105 years old and they looked 62. So the biggest thing an image that comes to my mind and the memory that I will hold forever is Toshi's garden. She is our neighbor across the street, and they lived in this little like military bunker type housing, because once the, you know, after the war, and some of the most brutal battles of World War II happened there in Yomitan. So the military buildings were then given or sold, I'm not sure, to the local government. And, you know, many people made their home of them, and they're still there to this day. Well, Toshi and her family smashed down the house and built like this beautiful home, and her husband had the most amazing garden you've ever seen. I mean, just chills again, like thinking about his garden, amazing bonsai trees, beautiful flowers that I don't know the names, a little koi pond, all on the corner of this little village in Yomitan. And every single day, he would go out there, Papa-san is what we called him. He would go out and he would tend to his garden, clipping very meticulously and patiently and with so much love and joy and lightness, like clipping his garden. And I said to my husband, I'm like, I want to go over there and I want to be Papa-san's student. And he's like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I'm just going to go over there and I'm going to say, Papa-san, sensei, and Annie-san, student. And I just, you know, I was always Googling how to say and be respectful and learn. But I felt like he might change the way, like change what he was doing. So I would watch from a distance every day, every single day. And I watched the way that he took care of his garden, took care of his family, and lived his life without that hustle, without that stress, and without those feelings of, I've just got to do X, Y, and Z. It was just, he needed to love. He needed to love. You know, I was going to add like his family take care of them. No, it was just that he moved forward every day with love. And it was just, I mean, a gift for our family to live across the street from Toshi and her family and their amazing garden.
Thank you for sharing that experience of visiting a blue zone and of seeing how people can really thrive in a very simple, beautiful, loving way. And that's a beautiful story. I love it. I can feel it. I can feel the feelings. I can imagine the beauty of that garden. So thank you for sharing your beauty with us today, Annie. I miss you. I thank you for joining us today on the show. Thank you for describing some of what I've described in other episodes. And I can't wait for my listeners to stay connected with you. Please share with us how they can do that.
Well, thank you. Yes, at anniepagaro.com. And you'll see links to my free trainings, to Soul School for Entrepreneurs, my 6-month coaching program, my own podcast called Adventures with Annie Pagaro. See that adventure theme? And, you know, I would love to connect with you. The best place is shoot me a message on Instagram. I'd love to see you screenshot that you're listening to this episode and tag both Dr. Christine and myself in your story. We would so love that. But, you know, just hop over to anniepagaro.com and sign up for one of my free trainings.
Awesome. Take Annie's advice always. I have always. Thank you so much again, Annie. And dear listeners, go get them. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Make Time for Success podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, you can subscribe to make sure you get notified of upcoming episodes. You can also visit our website, maketimeforsuccesspodcast.com, for past episodes, show notes, and all the resources we mention on the show. Feel free to connect with me over on Instagram too. You can find me there under the name Procrastination Coach. Send me a DM and let me know what your thoughts are about the episodes you've been listening to. And let me know any topics that you might like me to talk about on the show. I'd love to hear all about how you're making time for success. Talk to you soon.